Mark is one of the three Gospels that we call the Synoptic Gospels. Now, that word, if you divide it up, just means same view or same vision. And for Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're all telling the same story, in effect. They're telling the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his earthly ministry here, and of his death and resurrection, as we remember it today, and his glorious ascension back up into heaven. But each has a different emphasis, of course. All three of these synoptic gospels record this story of blind Bartimaeus, and each adds a different feature to the story. Now, we read from Mark, and I like the Gospel of Mark, for it's a gospel of action. It's a gospel of great action. Some say it's the gospel that Peter didn't write. It was written by John Mark. Peter was that impetuous apostle who just wanted to get on and do things. Maybe he didn't take time to write. Maybe he couldn't take time to write. But John Mark wrote what Peter told him to write, in effect. And he writes and gives us that sense of urgency in his gospel. The emphasis in his book is on Christ as the servant. Christ, the one who serves his heavenly Father. And that appealed to his audience, which was primarily Roman, for they liked people who were under authority and people who went forth as servants. So Mark presents a Christ who is the servant of the Most High Jehovah God. And is full of action. There's no preliminaries in the gospel. He goes straight into beginning with those things which the Lord did amongst them. Look at chapter 1 with me, a few verses, just to see the sense of urgency that Mark writes with. Verse 18, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Verse 20, and straightway he called them. And then down to verse 28, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. 29, and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. And then that unusual word at the end of verse 30, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever and anon. And anon just means immediately, quickly, suddenly. And that's the sense that we get as we go through this Gospel of Mark. There's action here. Christ as servant is healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight back to those who are blind. And that's the story we want to think about tonight, the story of blind Bartimaeus. And in looking at his story, we see also the path that sinners take in coming to Christ. And that's what I want us to take note of tonight. It's a picture of those who start off on the road downward to perdition and end up on the road that's upward to life eternal. It's a picture of those who are converted from their sins unto life everlasting in the Lord Jesus Christ. A number of points we want to look at tonight to think of this story. First of all, I want you to notice his condition. Verse 46 tells us that they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, there was a great number of people, and blind Bartimaeus sat by the highway side begging. Blind and begging, this man was. I wonder if you ever thought what it's like to be blind. We read that hymn story of a lady who was blind and yet did a great work for the Savior. We know of others in our hymn book who were blind, and they also wrote many of the beautiful hymns that we have here in our hymn book. As children, maybe you went to bed and turned out the lights and wondered, it's scary when it's dark, I don't like this, I want the light on. Or maybe for teenagers, going to youth camps, one of our activities, one of our favorite activities with the young people, was what we call the night line, where we would go out at night time, pitch black, and we would follow a rope that was tied between trees, either with the lights out or at night time or with blindfolds on, just to get the sense, what would it be like to be blind? We have a neighbor at home who's blind. And when we first met her, my wife and I said to each other, now whatever you do, don't make any reference to sight or any idioms that we tend to use about eyesight. And of course, when we met her, she said, oh, hello, how are you? It's lovely to see you. And then we thought, oh, no, we've used something that refers to sight. And how many of the common sayings that we have refer to sight and eyesight? Love is blind, young people, but the neighbours ain't. Look before you leap might apply to the young people also. And so many more idioms that we use refer to eyesight. Of our five senses, if you had a choice, if you were told that you were going to be denied one of your five senses, which would you give up? Sight, hearing, touch, taste, or smell? That's the five. And I guess many of you might think, oh, well, I wouldn't want to be blind. That's got to be the worst. Medically, there's been great debate over the years. Which is the worst infirmity? To be blind or deaf or have no touch? Back as a medical student, I went to India to a leprosy mission when I was 21, so a long time ago. And people there have no sense of feeling. They touch things and injure themselves and get burnt and come up with all sorts of damage to their bodies. But which is the worst loss of sensitivity? Well, it's not actually thought to be sight. It's actually hearing. It's difficult to live in a silent world. And that's regarded to be the worst of all of the infirmities. But what about Bartimaeus? He was blind, likely from birth, and begging. There was no work for him to do. There was no social security, as there is in our country. No benefits, no claims that he could make. He was in poverty. He relied on the generosity of others. When he heard that there was a crowd, he moved among them. Maybe there would be some here who would show him mercy and throw him some pennies, some money that he could buy food, throw him some things that would keep him warm, throw him some food if he was without. He was forced into the life of being a beggar. We're so blessed in our country to have all these benefit systems as we travel. I remember the first time we traveled to America, to some of the big cities, and we saw so many people begging on the streets. We don't tend to see that, or not so many here in our country. And of course, there isn't the same social security systems there to look after those who lack ability. But there was none in Bartimaeus' time. He was destitute and begging. He wasn't able to change. He couldn't fix himself. He couldn't rehabilitate. He couldn't get out of his predicament. And that reminds us, does it not, of the case for every sinner born into this world. And we're all born in sin. We're blind spiritually. We're unable to change that. Try as we might, we cannot regain our sight. It leaves us spiritually lost. And we don't know where to turn. And of course, the Bible tells us that Satan has blinded the eyes of them who would believe so that they don't see the gospel. You see, our sin has blinded us, and Satan uses that sin to blind us from the truth of the gospel. And so many in this world tonight are blind to their sin. We read over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and the verse 4, these words, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them." Sinners are blind to gospel truth, and Satan desires that we remain in darkness and that we remain blind to the claims of the gospel. Also over in John chapter 12, there from verse 35 to 37, we read, "And Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." The light has come into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And he has come in to shine into men's hearts, to reveal to them their need of salvation, yet sin and Satan have blinded the world to his claims. So first of all, we've looked at his condition. He was blind and begging. Secondly, I want you to consider his conviction, this time in verse 47, back with Mark. Let me come back to Mark, chapter 10, verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He had heard about Jesus of Nazareth. In fact, the crowd that followed after Jesus wanted to see good works, but they just looked on this man as Jesus of Nazareth. But blind Bartimaeus, even though he could not see in his mind, in his heart, he recognized that this was not just a man from Nazareth. No, this man was the promised Messiah, for he shouts out, "David, thy son," or "Jesus, thy Son of David." And this was a title that was given to the Messiah. He was to come as a son of King David, and he would have mercy upon them. And so he cries out, he recognizes who this man is, and he cries out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." You see, what others could see didn't lead them to recognize Christ as the Messiah. But what Bartimaeus could see, what he was convicted of by faith, enabled him to recognize the one before whom he stood, Jesus Christ, as no other than the Messiah sent to bring mercy. Sinners need to realize that they're sinners. Sinners will turn for help. They recognize their lostness. They recognize that they have need of help in this life. They have problems. They seek for a remedy or a cure. But they turn in all the wrong directions, don't they? They turn to counselors, maybe to meditation, maybe to other religions, maybe to religious works. Maybe they do penance. Maybe they perform rituals. Maybe they seek after fame, anything to blank out that feeling of something missing in their lives, something that makes them feel sad about the life that they live. Oh, that sinners would realize that there's only one remedy for sin, and that's found by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who come to Jesus must recognize who he is, must recognize that they have a problem, their sin problem, must recognize that they cannot fix it, that no man can fix their sin problem, must recognize that only Christ can save me, and then must come to him for help. So that's his condition. And then we've seen his conviction. He had heard of Jesus Christ, who was the Son of David. Then look with me at verse 49, at his call. Jesus called for this man. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." Jesus called, and Bartimaeus came. My friend, except the Lord Jesus Christ call, none can be saved. We who know and love the Savior were called in time. That effectual call came to our hearts when Christ told us to come unto him. If we were weary and heavy laden, we were to turn to him and he would give us rest, and we came at his bidding. The truth is that none will call out for the Savior except he first call them. None will be saved except Jesus calls. I'm reminded of the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, a chapter that you will know well. And there in Ephesians chapter 2, we read of how we were in our sin in those opening verses. And we are lost. And then we get to that wonderful verse, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. We thought about his riches this morning. God, who is rich in mercies, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins and unable to respond, he quickened us. He gave us new life and gave us the ability to respond to his call. I've told the story before of a picture that appeared in a wedding photograph of my uncle who married on the other side of the world. And the picture behind him and his new bride had just two words on it, Bible verse. Just the two words, but God. Nothing else. That's all it said. And I used to think as a child, as a young person growing up, what does that mean? Why would you put up those two words? And yet, when I look here at the passage in Ephesians, I see that we would have been left in our sinful estate. We would have been left as those who were the children of wrath, even as others, but for God. He moved. He quickened us. He gave us the ability to respond to his call. And those two words encapsulate the gospel for us, but God. It was his prerogative. It was his initiative. It was his plan of salvation that he would send forth his son to us so that through faith in him we might have forgiveness of sins. His condition, his conviction, this Jesus of Nazareth is indeed the promised Messiah. His call, Jesus called. Then look with me at his conversion, verse 50. And he, that is Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. How beautifully simple this verse is. And yet we see the sense of the urgency with which Bartimaeus came. He cast off those things that were holding him back. His garment was holding him back from getting to see Christ who had called him. That reminds me, reminds us, that sinners have garments, garments of their own righteousness, which the Bible describes as garments that are filthy rags in the eyes of Jehovah God. And except sinners throw off those garments and throw off their sinful ways and throw off even those good things that they've done, those good things that they hope would merit them salvation, we need to throw them all off and come to Christ just as we are for salvation. And that's how Bartimaeus came. With nothing in his hand, he threw off his garments. He laid aside every weight and all those sins that easily beset us, as we read in Hebrews 12. And he came to the Savior. And he came with urgency. There was an immediate response with Bartimaeus. And the Bible tells me that those who hear the gospel need to respond with immediacy. They need to respond, for now is the accepted time, the Bible tells us. Now is the day of salvation. He came to Jesus, and Jesus asked him, "What would you that I would do for you?" A question. Think, what could he have said? Here was the master of the world. Here was the creator of the world. Here was the son of David, God himself. He could ask anything, could he not? He might have asked for riches or fame. He might have asked for a house or a living or a job. But he asked for that thing that he needed most. He asked for his sight. Sinners, in coming to the Savior, need to ask for that thing first and foremost that they need in their lives, forgiveness for their sins. They might come with a list of things that they want, but except they repent of their sin and ask for salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ, then they will not be healed. The Bible reminds me that all who do come to the Christ will be received by him. John 6:37, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me, and Bartimaeus came, I will in no wise cast out. And he wasn't cast out, for he received his sight that day. The scriptures tell us here that Jesus said to him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And over in Luke, where we have a parallel chapter, let me see if I can just find it in Luke, chapter 18, and it's the verse 42. Chapter 18 and verse 42, there we read, "And Jesus said unto him," to blind Bartimaeus, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." You see, the story is just not about Bartimaeus receiving his sight. It's about Bartimaeus coming by faith to the one who is not only able to give him sight, but is able to heal him of his sins and forgive him of his sins. Bartimaeus that day by faith received Christ and was saved. And as proof of his salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a sign to the people all around, gave him back his sight. We have seen his condition. We have seen his conviction, his call, his conversion. Now I want you to think of his consecration. Verse 52, back in Mark chapter 10. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Think about it, my friends. If you had been blind from birth and received your sight and taken in all of those things that you'd heard about but never seen before, what would have been the first thing you would have done? Would you have thought, well, I've lived here in Jericho all my life and now I'm seeing places that I've never seen before. I've heard about them. I must go and find out what they're like. I must go and see what is here in this world, what this town has to offer, what job I can find. There were so many things that he had to see. But he followed Jesus. And those who come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and respond to the gospel message, they will become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Life suddenly takes on a new perspective. Suddenly we see things differently, as Bartimaeus did. And we see a new thing, and we do a new thing, and he goes out to serve his master, the Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 18, verse 43, and again we have this sense of the immediacy of it, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, followed Christ, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. We glorify God in our service. We glorify God in following after him. We glorify God in becoming his disciples. And so Bartimaeus was a changed man, and he sought to serve the Lord also. Do you see what it says of the crowd? The crowd are fickle, are they not? The crowd at the start had said, don't bother him. Don't call out. He's busy. Don't call out on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep quiet, Bartimaeus. Stay there in the background. Then the Lord calls for him. And they said, well, be of good cheer, Bartimaeus. Come, come on. He's calling for you. And now we have it at the end of the chapter in Luke 18 that he glorifies God, and they that were with him also glorified God. And all the people, when they saw it, give praise unto God. If we come to Christ, if we become disciples of Christ, if we seek to glorify Christ, then others will see it and they will glorify our Father which is in heaven also. Isn't that what we read Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Bartimaeus saw the Savior first by faith. Then physically, he saw him also when he followed after. I think of another in the Scriptures who saw the Lord Jesus Christ, but he doubted, and he was fearful. And the Lord had a message for him in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, we read of Thomas, doubting Thomas, as we call him. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to Thomas, John 20, verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed, Thomas, are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Physically, we have not yet seen the Lord Jesus Christ. But the verse tells me that all of those who see him by faith and turn to him for salvation are blessed indeed. Those of us who know and love the Savior have seen him with the Spirit's eye. We have seen him there lifted up on Calvary's cross for us. We have seen him there die on our behalf, bearing our sins, taking the shame upon him. We have seen him, and we read of him this morning, rising up into heaven. And we believe that we're risen in him, for we have that new life that he has given to us in the heavenlies. What a day that's going to be, when our eyes will be opened, and we will see him not now through a glass darkly, but we will see him as he is, for our eyes shall behold the one whom our souls love. Friend, do you know him? Have you been to the Savior? Has he called for you? Is he calling for you this night? Is he asking for you to come by repentance and in faith in his finished work to accept his offer of mercy? Oh, I pray that some, many, might turn to the Savior tonight and that they might find the answer to all of life's problems in knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. Well, the problems may not go away, but the answer to them, the faith to overcome, the faith to believe that there is a better day ahead will be given to you to overcome all of life's hurdles and obstacles and difficulties. And one day we shall be with him and we shall be like him. May God bless his word to all of our hearts tonight. We'll bow in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this story of blind Bartimaeus in the scriptures. We thank you for the truth that it reveals. We thank you that it is a picture of a sinner coming to Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the immediacy that we read of in this passage. We thank you that when he was called, he left all behind him, cast it all aside, and he ran to the Savior for salvation. Lord, we pray if there's someone in our meeting tonight, or maybe viewing through the webcast, or listening at a later time, through audio, Lord, we pray that all who hear might be challenged by this word, that they might realize that they're sinners, that they might realize that they must repent of their sin and that they must flee wrath to come by coming to thee by faith. Lord, we pray that there will be those who will respond to the gospel call this night. And for those of us who know and love thee, help us to live lives that glorify thee. And we pray, Father, that in glorifying thee, the promise is that others might glorify our Father also, which is in heaven. So help us to be up and doing. Help us to be active in your service and to serve thee as we thought this morning, with willing hearts, with full hearts, with glad hearts, and that we'll serve thee, knowing that there is laid up and for us in heaven a reward for those who are faithful. So bless your people here in Coleraine tonight, Father. We ask that you will bless them abundantly. As we part one from the other, take us to our homes in safety. Pour out your Spirit upon us in these days. Help us to be evangelists in our own communities, in our own towns, in our own villages, in our own workplaces. And help us to be those who will carry our friends to the Savior. For it's only in him that they find true comfort and peace. So part us now with thy blessing and with thy favor, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.